The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Now, here's your host, Jeff Dantzler.
Hello and welcome to 40 for 80, the sweetest season, episode 7 in our chronicles of Georgia's magical 12-0 run to the 1980 National Championship. Today, we revisit the Bulldogs' 27-0 triumph at Kentucky, which improved Georgia to 7-0 on the year, 4-0 in the Southeastern Conference, and number 4 in the national rankings. Our very special guests today, two of the stellar seniors from the 1980 national champions, two of the great players in Georgia history, flanker from Athens, number 82, Anthony Amp Arnold, and defensive end from Anderson, South Carolina, number 41, Pat McShay. I'm your host, Jeff Dantzler. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us today. Amp, let's start with you. All right, we have been at home 5 straight games. We're going back on the road to Kentucky. What's going through your mind heading into this game with us sitting at 6-0?
Again, everything was going well. We didn't have any concerns. Again, watching film beforehand, it was not like we didn't think we can win, but could lose. Historically, Kentucky has always been a hard-hitting team. So we were definitely looking for a physical game, and they didn't disappoint, even though the score don't indicate that.
Yeah, it's funny. Coach Dooley used to always say they'd have those big mountain boys up there. They were always tough, physical. Pat, one of the things, too, that's so interesting, we'd had the 5 straight home games. Our first road game, we're at Tennessee. It's hot. It's muggy. Kickoff in Lexington that night, it's 43 degrees. Pat, did that give us any trouble?
No. In fact, I play better in the cold weather. And I know at the start of that game, I knew we were going to win that game before we left. Coach Dooley made one of his best decisions ever by letting our injured center, Hugh Nall, he had hurt his knee, and he was on crutches. In fact, he not only made the trip, he was the team captain and got the game ball at the end of the game.
Now, Pat, just to stick with you for a moment, all of the trench stellar Bulldogs that I've talked to off of the team have talked about how important this is, that veteran defensive line, that veteran offensive line, for you guys going up against each other in practice every day, that had to be a great enhancement for both lines of scrimmage.
Yes. In fact, a lot of weeks the game was easier than the practices. But, you know, we got a coach named Vince Dooley, who's the master of discipline, and Coach Russell, who's the master of motivation. And, you know, there's just no way we're going to lose when they let Hugh Nall travel with the team. Normally, you don't press out. You don't make the trip. And, you know, he didn't just make the trip. He was one of our captains. And he was truly a great leader on our football team. But I remember the game, you know, first of all, Coach Russell was also the master of defensive strategy, and the split 60 wasn't fully developed until 1980. In fact, that's how I became the end. In my previous underclassmen years, if I either play left or right. And this year, I'm going to the weak side, and everybody's flip-flopping according to formation. And in this game, at some point, they moved me to Sam linebacker. And Kentucky came out with an offense that we used to run in Little League, a full house backfield, straight T formation. And they would turn, hand the ball off with 2 lead blockers, and they were pounding it pretty good. And it was a very physical football game, no doubt.
Amp, going into the game, again, we're 6-0, and with Coach Dooley and Coach Russell leading the way, the focus is obviously week to week, and those short-term goals, that next practice, winning the next game. But at this point, did you guys, you special seniors, were you starting to realize that we could do something special in 1980?
Again, you just hit the nail on the head. We only looked at week to week. We didn't look at it ahead of time. We do know we were talented, and we was a veteran crew at the time. But, again, we wouldn't say anything was special going to happen. Just week to week, play to play.
And we all know the pieces of this team were together. We always said Herschel was the missing piece. And Amp, you and Lindsey, two of the great receivers, in school history. We all know how terrific that offensive line was. You and Lindsey and Buck involved in so much history going back to 78 as well. Amp, would you agree, though? I think two of the more underrated facets of this team, we had two great fullbacks in Ronnie Stewart and Jimmy Womack, and two tremendous tight ends in Norris Brown and a young freshman, Clarence Kay.
Yeah, I agree. I often mentioned in the past that we was kind of like a double-barrel shotgun. We only shot one half barrel all the time. Herschel. We had to use the other one. It was available. Again, we was a talented group. As you mentioned, that fullback, I mean, we was bloated. We were. And Scott and I and the other guys, we had a wide receiver. Again, we could make plays. We just didn't have to make many.
Pat, let's talk about the defense for a moment there, big picture. So many seniors on this team. One of the things that's always stood out to me, too, when you look at it, Mike Fisher, Nate Taylor, Robert Miles, it's amazing. Those three guys were walk-ons and wind up starting for the national championship team. And then, of course, on the other side, you've got all these highly touted players, none more so than number 34. But this team was just the ultimate mix. And it really is impressive the way it came together.
No doubt. And going into the Kentucky game, we were already leading the country in the turnover ratio. We were double digits in interceptions, fumble recoveries. In fact, in this game, we had four interceptions. Hip got one, Fisher got one, Warner got two. And I'll never forget it. For some reason, Coach Russell put me in, moved me over to Sam linebacker. It was either the first or second play. Ball was on the right hash, and I was on the left side. I had to drop back. It was a pass play, and I jumped, tipped the ball out of the reach of the Kentucky's tight end's hands, and Warner was right there. He intercepted the pass, went 30-something yards, ran out of gas. Then our offense came out there and had like an 8-play drive. We didn't just run the ball that night. I think Herschel had 31 carries for 130-something yards, but Buck was throwing the ball all over the field. And he had over 220-something yards passing. And, of course, our man Amp Arnold caught that big one.
Amp did indeed. And Amp, let's get into to your game. And, of course, the 91-yarder, we'll end it with that. But you, as Pat just made reference to, after Scott's interception and return, you had a big play on first down that kind of got us going. And then your first catch, an 11-yarder on third and eight, kind of set up that first touchdown. And you had a 13-yarder. That was a first down at the end of the first quarter. We wound up turning it over there. And then a 12-yard catch in the third quarter on the first play of our TD drive that put us up 20-0. So you had three big catches already that had moved the chains, that had set up scores. So kind of take us through that as we lead up to the big play. What are your memories of those three plays and us building that 20-0 lead?
Again, doing the film work beforehand, we knew they was gonna, like most team we played at that time, they were stacking the box. Corners wasn't backing up. Safeties wasn't deep. Everybody was playing a run. So it was passing opportunities for us. And in that particular game, even though we're freezing in, we was able to have some success throwing the ball. And I just happened to be a recipient of a few of those.
Okay, Amp, now let's go to the big play. We're winning 20-0. We've got the game in hand, but Kentucky is still, as the mighty Munson would say, that they're still hanging around. But so here we are sitting third down, five to go on our own 9-yard line, and then boom, you know, it's shades of 1978 against Tech. Buck Balloon, Amp Arnold, 91 yards for the knockout blow. Take us through the play. Do you remember anything leading up to it, what coverage they were in? Do you remember the when you had the catch, the run, all that stuff? Just take us through everything you remember about the play.
Again, I had been mentioning to Coach throughout the game that the corners are not backing up, you know, as receivers. You always analyzing what's going on and sharing with them, and we kept mentioning they wasn't backing up. Again, had no idea that we was going to call that play at the time because we was backed up in our end zone, and quite natural, that says run, 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 which is what we did. And, of course, when we called the pass play, I came out smiling because I know the corner wasn't going to back up. So I came out, made a step to the outside, and just kept running. And Buck laid it out, and I just ran under it. And at that point, it was just a sprint as much as I could with as much weight I had on at the time, trying to keep warm.
So, AMP, you wind up with four catches for 127 yards that night, the 91-yard touchdown, which would go down as the second longest touchdown pass.
On, for 1 week.
Second longest. And, you know, AMP, would you, and obviously what you did against Tech in 78, you had such a great career, one of the best we've ever had. Would you consider this night in Kentucky as an individual, if not one of your best games, was this maybe the best game you had as a Georgia player?
Probably statistical-wise, yes. Again, I have probably better memories of games as a whole, as a team, more than individual. Again, you know, our offense was not throwing the ball very much, so it was more of a team game for us. And I thrive in a team environment, so I didn't ever think too much about my own statistics.
Well, that was the ultimate. This was the ultimate big team, little me. And Pat, you know, that still goes. It's remarkable to me, and I'm going to get both of you guys to talk about this. What a tight-knit group you guys still are. But let's get back to the game, Pat, and a couple of your big plays. You had six tackles in the game, five solos. We're up 13-0. Kentucky's putting together a pretty good drive to start the second half. You came up with a big tackle for loss. That got them behind the chains. They go for a 4th-and-14, and we're able to stop them, and then we turn around and go down and score to take the lead 20-0. Kind of take us through that big play you had there and what was working for you defensively that night in Lexington.
Well, you know, they ran that they came out with that straight T formation, two backs, and just pounded me to death. And, you know, it was just a physical game. As far as stopping them, I think the team overall stopped them. We had four interceptions, like I said earlier. We also had the late Donnie McMickens made a fumble recovery that led to points off a punt fumble. And so we had four turnovers. And then our offense now, you know, running and throwing, and our kicking game with Rex kicking and Warner running punts back, and we were strong. We were a complete football team, and I think the Kentucky game overall just gave us the confidence that we needed to go into the final stretch.
Yeah, AMP, I'm glad that Pat brought up Donnie McMinkins, the captain Frank Ross, and Coach Cavan. We talked about this earlier this season, that what it meant to have for Donnie, for Bob and Steve Kelly, guys who had started before that weren't starting on offense and defense, but were still great, great players on special teams, and the way they were able to contribute. Donnie was one of our best special teams players. Obviously, what Bob and Steve did on the kickoff against Notre Dame, those quote-unquote little things, that hidden yardage, that little bit of extra, it was just enough for us to win them all.
Yeah, you mentioned it right there, team. The Eagles guys that had some success early on, but then as time go on, it wasn't so successful. Yeah, maybe as they wanted, but they was willing to take a secondary role and thrive in those roles. You take Donnie McMickens as an example. He started the Tennessee game, but he probably never got a running back carry after that. But he didn't pout. Came in, worked every day, and excelled on special teams. He did whatever he had to do to be part of that team, be successful. And that was just the name of that team. It was a team. And as you mentioned earlier, that most of those senior guys, we still get together and still be a team.
Now, it's Chris Welton, Hugh Nall, and Frank Ross, and Scott Werner all tell me about Nat Hudson's famous homemade moonshine that you guys have been on to taste. When you get together at your big senior parties there. So I think the statute of limitations is passed, Amp, but would you care to comment on that?
I will not.
Pat, how about for you guys, when y'all get together, it's really still so special, and I know you wish you could see each other 5, 6, 7 times a year, but when you see you're still getting together, Pat, it's got to bring back all the great memories.
Oh, it does. It's I think we have to wait to our 50th anniversary before we tell all the other stories. I mean, it's incredible, but we had a lot of fun. We worked hard, and we definitely played as a team. And, you know, if we had been in the military with Coach Dooley and Coach Russell and all those other great coaches and our team, we would have been unstoppable, I guarantee.
All right, let's run into a timeout now. We got two of the great Bulldogs. We got number 82, Amp Arnold, and number 41, Pat McShay. This is 40 for 80, the sweetest season, right here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Amp Arnold, number 82. Pat McShay, number 41. Two of the great Bulldogs of all time. Amp, I want to go back to you here. This senior class, I've often said, I think at that time in 1980, it was our greatest senior class and it was our greatest freshman class. And we had a lot of really good pieces in between. But for that senior class, and Pat, this is going to come to you as well, but Amp, for you, obviously, we all want to win every game, every year. The ups and downs of what happened in 79, a phenomenal year in 78, kind of going through those trials and tribulations, how much did that help us in 1980, going through those tough times as well?
I think it had a big bearing on us, particularly starting in our freshman year. Again, we struggled as a team unit. We was not what was expected. Matter of fact, we probably were Vince Dooley's only losing team. And becoming from that losing team as our freshman year to become undefeated as a senior year, again, that was pretty sweet. Again, there was plenty of trials and tribulations, particular 78. Where we just couldn't figure out what was going on. We had some good games and some bad games. I think that was the year we lost like all of our ACC games, shall I say? We won all the SEC games.
No, it was crazy. That 79 season, we lose to Wake Forest and Virginia and Clemson, but had a chance to win the SEC going into the Auburn game.
Yeah, in those games, we should have been favored to win. It's just tough. Figure that game out.
That's the thing. And I guess in that respect, too, Amp, did it help? Because, you know, we go into a game like Kentucky, it was like, listen, we're undefeated. We don't need what happened last year against Wake Forest to happen to us and blow this thing.
Yes. Again, as we matured, again, we weren't going to allow that to happen again. We were more prepared. Again, we have a talented squad at that time, not only our seniors guys, but the freshmen that we brought in, along with some of the sophomores had to develop at that time. We had good depth. And again, our defense carried us a lot. They carried us, gave us an opportunity on offense to score.
Pat, what about that kind of the tough times, you know, 79, which was just one of the more bizarre seasons. You know, we were great in 78, and then, you know, here we are in 80 and all these close ball games, and then luckily we won these by substantial margins against Vanderbilt in Kentucky. But kind of going through those tough times, Pat, how did that help shape this 1980 team?
You know, the fear of losing is a great motivator as well, and you know, 77, I was actually a freshman on the scout team, new offensive line coach by the name of Wayne McDuffie. It would have been easier to have been in the Marines that year. 78 was a team that, you know, we had great, it was similar to the 80 team. We had great senior leadership, like when Willie McClendon. 79, we had a lot of injuries. Jimmy Payne was out for the year. We didn't have the depth. We didn't have a Freddie Gilbert to come in and play the end position, which is basically pass rushing and playing the option and containment. You know, in this Kentucky game, I did also want to mention the play of Eddie Meat Cleaver Weaver. He was he had an outstanding game as well. He was practically unblockable. He made my job a lot easier because they just couldn't block him. And running backs have to run somewhere. They weren't going to run through him.
And you mentioned the meat cleaver, to have him and Jimmy Payne there in the middle, two of the all-time greats. And there was one sequence right before a turnover. The meat cleaver gets a stop for no gain. Jimmy Payne gets a big sack, puts him back behind the chains. And Amp, I know for you, especially for the late Jimmy Payne, one of the best we've ever had, and growing up with him, being Athens natives over at Cedar Shoals, and just for me growing up in the early, just seeing those guys, you know, Eddie Weaver and Jimmy Payne and Freddie Gilbert on the defensive line as our great success of the 80s continued. What a group that was. And you know, I think all the credit goes to guys like Pat McShay and Robert Miles for showing them how it's done.
That's right.
Well, I think like Freddie Gilbert, he shows up as a freshman. Yeah, that motivated me to play at my best. You know, he went on to play for Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. So, I was motivated throughout the whole season.
Amp, for you and Jimmy, though, you know, being Athens products, growing up around the Bulldogs, beyond just winning a national championship, the fact that you're from Athens, all the changes that you had seen from the times you were a small kid to living this dream here, kind of take us through that and your relationship with Jimmy.
Let's start with Jimmy, if I can do so. Again, yes, Jimmy sir. And I was very close. Not only athletically, but we was pretty close off the field as well. Shared a lot of intimate stories. So I knew a lot about his family, which I used to go there, eat, play checkers with his dad, and that type things. So we were very close. In fact, as growing up, him and I in high school used to team up in basketball as a duo and go around Athens and all the parks and play people. 2-on-2, and we was undefeated for a whole year. We were keeping records. So he was not just a big man, but he was athletic as well. And again, he's a gentle giant, very gentle, nice person you want to be around, very mindful.
And I'll say this too about the late Jimmy Payne. His father, James, was a friend of mine. I was around him at the tennis courts for many, many years here in Athens. And
yes.
And I know, you know, for all of us, that this 1980 is going to, you know, will live on forever and being so special. But I think, too, especially for guys like you and Jimmy, who grew up here in Athens, just in the shadows of Sanford Stadium, to go out and literally live that dream, how incredible that still has to be for you.
Yeah, that's something you can't dream of. Again, living that dream, again, coming from Athens and having that support staff. And going over to the University of Georgia, wearing that red and black and representing it, having the opportunity to do well, I think that helped as well.
Now, Pat, let's talk a bit about the South Carolina connection on our defense with you up front, El Capitan from Greenville, where he was born in Barcelona, and then Jeff Hipp being from outside of Columbia there. And all three of you guys had a huge role in this national championship. I kind of talk about that kinship there between our three seniors from the state of South Carolina on defense.
Frank Ross used to call us the Carolina Brothers. We had a, you know, every time we played Clemson or South Carolina, we wanted it to be our best game. And just like half being from Athens, probably Georgia Tech. But then we had players from Florida. We had players from all over the place. Every week it was a big game. But it was very big for me, Frank, and Jeff to play well against Carolina and Clemson.
Now, Pat, you have the Georgia record, 8, count them, 8 fumble recoveries.
Wow.
How in the world did you have that nose for the football? That is just an incredible record. And I know for me, listening to those 1980 National Championship highlight tapes a million times over with Larry Munson and Coach McGill, that just, you know, hearing Phil Shaver, it was Pat McShay the end, Larry, up at Tennessee in Knoxville. That is so famous there. How in the world did you get on all those fumbles, Pat?
Well, Coach Russell, he always says better be lucky than be good. So that's probably why. But, you know, 79 season, I was actually the second leading tackler on the team. But we had a lot of injuries, especially at linebacker. And Jimmy Payne was out the whole season. I think that was more of a reason. that defense isn't designed for a defensive end, but playing defensive end and you're always trailing the ball when it's away from you, a lot of times you're like the second or third guy there position for the football. So I wish you could have, like they can now, pick it up and run with it. Back then you had to follow fumble. But anyway, I think a lot of it's just good coaching. Coach Russell, he had a simple plan for us. He said win the first game and the last game, all the ones in between, and plus one more. That's exactly what we did.
Just one more. Amp, if we could, I'd like to go a little bit further down memory lane and talk about some of your great moments. And obviously the 78 Tech game with the touchdown to pull within one, and then the two-pointer when you famously hold it over your head. I could tell you this, Amp. I was 6 years old at my great-aunt's house, and I had on my little Georgia shirt, and that is one of the first memories of my life. And I had we had a new administrator here at the university a couple of years ago on a baseball trip, and he goes, Jeff, how long have you been with us? I said, since the 78 Tech game. for so many people, that game, that still might be the best game ever at Sanford Stadium. But that moment, and then, of course, you made the one and only catch, and it was the biggest one ever against Notre Dame. That was the biggest one. So your memories of Tech in 78, and then when you made the catch against Notre Dame, did you realize at that point, that's enough? We can run the clock out now?
Yes. In fact, on that particular play, after we got the first down, of course, I caught the ball, fell out of bounds on their side of the field. And I was laying down on my back saying, it's all over now, but the crying is all over. We knew they had no more timeouts at that time. It was all in our hands.
Well, that's awesome that it hit you right there when you made the play. The 78 Tech game, when the crowd's roaring like that, when we finally take the lead like that, did you feel like you were Superman and could fly at that point?
I never thought I could fly, but I enjoyed that moment. Considering that year, if I go back and reminisce about it, that was a good team, but with no expectation. In fact, we got the label Wonder Dogs. I don't know if we were favored to win any of those games. And we found a way. And in that particular Tech game, we started out not so well. They jumped on us in a hurry. We couldn't stop Eddie Lee Ivory to save our lives. And soon we finally made a play on Warner. Scored a touchdown. Yes, to get us the lead. Drew Hill come right back and take it from us. So it was kind of a weird day. But again, the fact that we almost had the last opportunity to score, we had to score at that time. And I was fortunate enough to get open to get a touchdown. And then the highlight of it all being able to score the two-point conversion for the win.
Then David Archer sealed it with the interception.
With the interception, yes.
Isn't that something? Pat, for the defense at this point, we're seven games in, back-to-back shutouts against Vandy and Kentucky. That's our third shutout. We held TCU to 3, Tennessee to 15, Clemson to 16. Ole Miss got 21, but they did have a defensive touchdown. I mean, at this point, do you realize, are you guys saying, hey, we got the best defense in the country right now?
Well, we, like I said earlier, we led the country in turnover ratio. We're already double digits in interceptions and fumbles, but seeing the offense have a balanced attack instead of depending on one back running the ball 30 plus times a game, knowing that we could win throwing the ball actually helps the defense. Gives us time to rest. They drive the ball down the field. We get a chance to rest. Then we go back on the field and stop them. We finally had depth defensive line like we never had before. I still think Coach Russell's strategy of not flip-flop the end and the Sam linebacker opposite sides helped a lot, because you only had to learn it it's not like playing two positions. Now I'm just playing the end position. Whereas if the formation's to me, I'm playing outside linebacker. I know when to drop back for coverage and how to blitz. It simplifies the learning curve, made us a more aggressive defense. We were a complete football team. That's all there was about it.
It was the ultimate team, and I think from a coaching standpoint, as we head into a timeout here for the great coaches, it's simple for the players to execute, but difficult for the other team to combat. And that was truly the story of the 1980 Georgia Bulldogs. This is 40 for 80, the sweetest season, here on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
From the farmer's field that produces your food to the football field where your home team plays, Georgia Farm Bureau is committed to helping Georgia communities thrive. Georgia Farm Bureau provides peace of mind to families through home, auto, and life insurance with affordable coverage and fast claim services. By insuring with Georgia Farm Bureau, you're making an investment in Georgia agriculture, Georgia farmers, and Georgia families. With more than 150 offices in the state, Georgia Farm Bureau is always the home team.
Welcome back to 40 for 80, the sweetest season. Two Bulldog greats, number 82, Amp Arnold, and number 41, Pat McShay, as we reminisce about that victory over the Kentucky Wildcats and just some incredible Georgia memories. All right, Amp, now when we get the win, when the team's coming back, do you start thinking about the stretch that's coming up? This is the latest we've ever played South Carolina. Then we got the big three, Florida, Auburn, and Tech. So obviously it is a week-to-week thing, but boy, what a stretch we had coming. We had quote-unquote won the games that we were supposed to win, but man, oh man, what were the challenges coming, starting with George Rogers and the Gamecocks.
Yeah, you're right. We were looking at the stretch run at that time. We had ironed out the wrinkles of and we was ready to go. And, of course, we know George was going to bring in the crew. That was going to be tough. And, of course, they didn't disappoint. Luckily, we had a 34 on the outside of the field to help make a difference. That was a battle, definitely a battle with South Carolina. Because I don't know if they were rated at the time or not. But, again, we know Rogers was heading for the Heisman Trophy. And he had a great game there as well. And, as you mentioned, that stretch – that final three or four games every year was determining if you were going to be SEC champ or not. And, of course, we was up for the task, definitely.
Pat, I talked with the great Tim Morrison about this, and obviously you're going week to week. Do want to emphasize that, but ain't nothing like being a Bulldog on a Saturday night. And Tim said after the first two, three, four wins – on that Saturday night, you can let yourself dream just a little bit. Then on Sunday, you get back focused. So how about for you on the plane ride home, Pat, knowing what was coming up here, knowing what we had just done, what's going through your head at that point?
Well, I mean, you know, after the Kentucky game, it was just a total team effort. We shut them out. That was two in a row, like you said, third one for the year. And the way the offense won the game, by a balanced attack, with Buck throwing over 220-something yards, 91 to Amp in those yards, we felt good. Coming back on the plane, I'm not sure if it was this game or another game, but I remember the Reverend McBride singing to the team, and the team started singing, "We've got the whole world in our hands." It was so funny. I mean, we got back and laughed and sang that song. You remember that, Amp?
I do remember that. I don't remember what game, but I do remember that.
I think it might have been the Kentucky game. But, yeah, the plane ride home from Kentucky was pretty sweet.
Pat, do you have a favorite Irk Russell story?
My favorite one is I don't know if you have a copy of his book. You ever seen his book?
Yes.
Okay. And it's pretty neat because me, Hugh Nall, Scott Warner, and Phil Kelly, who also went down there as a trainer, we played at Georgia, coached at Georgia Southern. And in Irk's book, he talks about what would be the ultimate mascot. And he said, a cross between a bulldog and an eagle. And he named us in the book that we call them Bull Eagles. So when I see Warner and all, we usually greet each other, "Hey, Bull Eagle." And a lot of players on our team don't even know that, but that's what we do. That's pretty fun.
You know, Amp, it's with Coach Dooley, it was always one of those things for anybody who was around him working in any capacity. He had that ability. He didn't have to say a whole lot. He could just give you that look. You better get it in the road.
You was correct. If you ever had to go see Coach, it wasn't for something good.
I had to go see him once.
So what was his late great secretary, Miss Honeycutt, all you guys, when you had to go see him, kind of waiting in that waiting room, I guess she would try to be the calming influence there, yeah. Right?
Let you know there was some hope before you went in there.
So here we go. We're 7-0. We got the Gamecocks coming up. How confident are we right now? You know, you got South Carolina, his national championship, and I know all about the spring and hey, we can do it. Let's win them all. Are you thinking national championship, or did you guys still somehow keep that focus on one game and one game only at South Carolina, and that's all we're thinking about?
You're correct. It was just one game only. Again, we never looked ahead. Because, again, the team that we were playing and the fact that we was highly rated at that time, we're becoming other teams' target, chance for them to have a good season by beating us. So the task was always to maximize your talent and win the next game. And luckily we won them all, so we could have a chance.
Pat, did you take notice at all? Did y'all pay attention to the rankings? I mean, certainly at this point we get up to number 4. You had to take notice then, right?
Oh, yes. That was our next problem. Start. Everybody's telling you how good you are, reading in the paper. I'd have to go back to high school before I went this deep in a football season where you're still undefeated. So, yeah, we took notice, but we also kept things in perspective because, you know, like we talked earlier, 79 season was a major disappointment. But now we're on a roll. We have momentum. We got balanced offensive tack. Special teams are playing good. Defense is playing lights out. We felt good about going into that South Carolina game. But the South Carolina offense with George Rogers running the ball with two tight ends, which made our defense square up. And, it was a huge challenge for us. And we somehow hung in there and won a close one.
When you guys get together, I know out at Chris Welton's farm, that's always a big time for you guys there. The memories, how much of the talks, the stories, I've got a lot of it's obviously about the games and all, but how much of it is just the journey along the way, those bloody Tuesday practices, the nights out in Athens. So is the journey as much, if not more, a part of the conversation than the games themselves?
They are. Again, we reminisce mostly about life. Some of the stories you hear now that you didn't know then, less about games, but again, the trials and tribulations that we had growing up at the University of Georgia. And, of course, things that happen now after the University of Georgia. Of course, again, when you get your favorite refreshment, it get to be some interesting stories as well.
Pat, go ahead.
Oh, Ant's absolutely right. There's a lot of stories, and probably need to wait to the 50th year when you can tell them. I mean, there's things that you wouldn't believe, but no one ever got hurt. I can't remember anybody had went to jail, but we were lucky.
Yeah, guys, I want to, as we start to wind it down here, and Pat, I'll go with you on this one. Fast forward to 1-1-81, that greatest of days. When we had won it, was it joy, relief, a combination, ecstasy? Can you describe the emotions?
Well, at 1 second, you're really, really happy. Now I've won the national championship. This team has went undefeated and untied. And at the same time, I also knew it was probably my last football game. But to play football from second grade every year, and then your last game is for the national championship in the Superdome against Notre Dame. And that was very good, very, very good ending.
Amp, how about for you? That there had to be just all these emotions going through your mind when you saw that 17-10 and triple zeros on the Superdome clock.
Yeah, I couldn't explain the feeling at that time when people rushing on the field. I mean, the joy that you had won it all. And, of course, at that moment, you felt for sure that you was the national champion because you were the only undefeated, untied team in the country at that time. And we had played Baltimore competition to prove that we was worthy. And as Pat mentioned, on the ride home, you get to thinking about all the friendships and relationships that's going to be over with now. The guys you've been living with for the past 4 years became your buddies, your pals, your friends, and your family.
Well, you guys are a wonderful family, and that's what goes from the ultimate team. And you guys, especially you seniors from 1980, certainly were. So as we wrap it up, Pat, any last thing you'd like to throw out there for the Georgia faithful?
Well, I hope they play the game this weekend, and I appreciate you doing this. Because of the virus, you know, they delayed, postponed our 40th reunion until next year. You know, we're going to work through all this, and hopefully things will get back to normal.
Amp, any final words from you, number 82, for the Bulldog faithful?
Yeah, I just want to take a few words from Eric Russell. He used to preach all the time. He used to say, if they score, we may lose. If we score, we may win. But if they never score, we never lose. And we got one of those tight defenses this year that keeping us in games. We could have a special year. We get a little bit play on offense. But again, Jeff, Mike, thank y'all very much for just sharing that opportunity to live those years again.
Well, I can't tell you how much you guys have meant, number 82, Amp Arnold, number 41, Pat McShay, to so many people through the years. And we're honored that you were able to join us today, and hopefully you'll come back with us on again soon to relive this greatest of seasons. So, gentlemen, thank you for all that you have done for the Georgia Bulldogs, Amp Arnold, and Pat McShay, two all-time Bulldog greats. And that'll do it for this episode of 40 for 80, the sweetest season. I'd like to thank our producers and engineers, Alan Thomas, Mike Bilbo, Cabell Philpott, Drew Brackett, and Rick Sterrett. Next week, we revisit Georgia's 13-10 victory over South Carolina between the hedges. But for now, the chapel bell is ringing loud as the Bulldogs have shut out Kentucky 27-0. Thank you again to Bulldog greats Pat McShay and Amp Arnold. I'm Jeff Dantzler. This has been 40 for 80, the sweetest season on the Georgia Bulldog Sports Network.
The 40 for 80 podcast is presented by Georgia Farm Bureau, always the home team. Join us next time to hear more about Georgia's magical run to the 1980 National Championship.